And now you fast forward to 5 years later, that first group that did that are now ninth graders in the high school. And that ninth grade group, in both cases, the band and the orchestra, is much larger than the groups ahead of them, the 10th, 11th, and 12th graders that over the next several years will leave.
By about, what, 50 kids?
But it's about double. Each class now is maybe 30 to 40 kids that are participating in the band. You're looking at numbers like 60 to 70. That grows the band and it grows the orchestra to the point where our current space, if we continue to do things as we do now, it's not adequate for either program. So we looked at what it might take to remodel existing space. We didn't think that that was going to do the trick. So we began to look at, okay, what would it take for us to build an addition onto the high school? The southeast side of the high school, which is near our student parking lot, is the logical, ideal space. It's near the auditorium. It's near the current band room and the current orchestra room, so that is like a fine arts area. And we began to look at this space, and that's been a couple of years in the making. We're now at the point where we've crafted a plan for that. We have engaged our facilities committee, and then engaging the teachers and the administration of the high school to start identifying what they need out of this space, and then a potential remodel of the current band room to accommodate the growing orchestra, and then a remodel of the current orchestra room to house our chorus.
It creates a whole culture of fine arts kids.
It does, and that's one of the things that I think as we started to look at this addition was important to us, having that area that is almost designated as a fine arts area. And that's really important to the life of the high school. And you throw in the drama department with the productions that we've had over the years. Now we're setting this up to be a very good area for years to come. We want to make something that is large enough to accommodate the growing band, and we think we've got a footprint to do that. It's about double the size of the existing room, and then the existing band room will be certainly large enough to house the orchestra that's growing. So I'm excited about the opportunity that this presents.
Would you address the optics of planning a $7.5 million building project when worried about state funding?
Sure. We are a people business. We are in the, everything goes to staffing and classrooms. And when I talk about that, I'm talking about teachers and other staff that are part of those buildings. That's about 80% of our budget. And that's the education fund. And that's where, when we talk about challenges, that's the main fund for District 87. I know there's a lot of discussion about transportation funds and how that is very difficult, and that affects us as well. But the funds that I'm talking about are building funds, and they are not commingled with the education fund or transportation fund or other funds for that matter. And so we have debt, and that over time what we do is we pay off that debt and we refinance and we do things to be able to maintain our buildings and put new roofs on at an appropriate time, make sure that we're taking care of our HVAC systems and all that infrastructure.
So how does the timing work so that there won't be any further burden to taxpayers?
Over time, we consistently look at trying to maintain our debt so many years out, and we're looking at about a 10 to 12 year time period to do that. This is that logical time to be able to do that. And the building bonds, as we look at the money that it would take to do that and what it would look like in terms of a tax rate, because that's what people tend to understand better. We don't anticipate that this is going to increase our tax rate. It certainly would in the building bond fund, but what we'll be able to do is offset that by lowering the health, life, safety is one of the funds that we're looking at, lowering that levy. And that's assuming that we have no EAV growth, which I do believe will happen. And so I think that a combination of that EAV growth and maintaining that health, life, safety fund at a level that offsets that will maintain that rate at its current level. And you look down the road, okay, when might you do this again? Because we always have projects that we want to do or that need to be done. And there's a few that are out there, but there's only one real big remaining project that people would really like to see get done in the district, and that is the auditorium. And it still works well, and we maintain it well. We're actually replacing the lighting controls, which have given us a little bit of a problem in the last year or two. And that will get us down the road some period of time. So I think the next big project that I don't know if it will actually occur in my time, but certainly that's the one that we'll pay attention to after we get these projects done. I want to add that we haven't talked about it yet, but as part of this, and there's a large focus on the fine arts with these projects that are going on, we're also looking at replacing our natural turf on the field with artificial turf, and that's something that would be part of this these projects. We have very limited green space for our teams and other activities to participate in. So that will give us the ability to bring our boys and girls soccer program back to our own field and our own facilities. It will allow us to have our PE classes out there, our band to be able to get more time out on that field. That's all about bringing our kids back and getting more time on that.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Barry Riley, the superintendent of District 87. Turf is two-edged, though. Yes, it's more usable. It's more durable. You can use it more seasons, even when slightly wet, you can, without worrying about tearing up the sod and making it into a mud pit. But it can be harder on kids' joints. And in fact, there was a big hullabaloo in the last couple years about the U.S. women's national soccer team objecting to playing on turf and being scheduled on turf with the injury potential there, when the men's team was scheduled on natural fields.
Yeah, we've actually engaged our architects to look at various studies, and there's one that's come out of the state of Washington. And these are not tied to companies that make artificial surfaces. So we've been very careful and meticulous about looking at the sub-base when you start getting into the nitty-gritty of what you put underneath the actual surface of the turf that the athletes are on that addresses those issues. And I'm confident that because we've paid careful attention to that, that the type of subsurface that we put in there, there's a, and I can't think of the name of it, but there's an additional absorption layer that is specifically to address what you're talking about there. And the study has found no difference between natural surface and the artificial surface utilizing that type of product underneath. And so I want folks to know that we're certainly aware of that and paying attention to the underneath of that. And I'm not, to me, the artificial turf, for it makes sense for District 87. It may not make sense for other places. We do not have a dedicated soccer space. And when you try, and we used to years ago, put our soccer program on the field where we're playing football, and the wear and tear, we could never get that turf to take and maintain in a way that we could realistically expect to play on a surface that was even safe for kids. You think about the potentials for injuries. We had that issue, and with an artificial surface, it'll actually allow us to go right up to the track. It engages a more wide area that allows for the IHSA, requirements to be able to host the regional sectionals, that sort of thing, and that was important to us. But the real important thing to me is that we get all of our kids on there, and we get much more time and use out of that surface.
How much will the turf portion cost?
The turf portion of that will be right around $1 million. Of that 7.5. You expect a lifespan out of that of 10 to 12 years, so we'll make sure that we're taking care of that. When you look at the amount of money that we put into the field over that same time frame in terms of the making sure that you're fertilizing it, you're aerating it, you're mowing it, you are painting the lines, the labor that goes into that, that's probably about a $300,000+ expense over that 10 to 12 year period. I'm not here to say that by putting in turf, we're going to save money. That's not what this is about. This is about providing opportunities for kids. Once you get past that initial phase, that sub base is in and all that is left over the next time when you have to replace that turf, that top layer is about equal to that expense if you were to maintain a natural field over those 10 to 12 years. But we wouldn't be able to do this if it was not a part of this larger package.